In this episode, we cover modern marketing, what makes software as a service marketing special, what is HubSpot, and here is a quick taste of the episode, and then let's get going.
So if you have the ability to tell what your solution really does and why it's actually better than the competition, you will win. It sounds so easy, but it's actually very hard. Go back to the beginning and make sure that your prospects and customers truly understand your value proposition, because that's the only thing that really matters in the end.
This is Cloud Gossip, podcast demystifying the cloud and the people behind it.
Hi, I'm Annie. I'm a cloud-native technology marketing manager, and I've worked for tech companies ranging from startups to enterprises.
And my name is Carl, and I'm a cloud security leader working in the Swiss financial sector.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about SaaS technology marketing.
Henry Roine is a full-stack marketing professional skilled in managing and growing new businesses from startups to success. She's now working as a marketing manager at HubSpot. Welcome, Henry. Would you like to briefly introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Henny, and I work as a marketing manager at HubSpot in Dublin, Ireland. I'm originally from Finland though, and that's how I also know you guys. But currently I'm here in Dublin. My background really lies in marketing, but also in sales and operations. I've been in leadership roles in education and nonprofits, but currently I'm fully focused on SaaS marketing.
Cool. All right. So what does SaaS marketing actually mean? I know what software as a service is. I've used different products like that. I've helped build some of those. But what does software as a service marketing actually mean?
I think it's just, you know, I mean, obviously it's software as a service. So it's software marketing. I think it is a bit different than all the other marketing just because there's so many different parts to it. So with software as a service, you first have to do the acquisition. You have to get the people to come in and buy your product. Or with HubSpot, we have a freemium acquisition. So you have to get those people to sign up for your free product. And then you need to actually get them to convert to a paying customer. Or if they're already paying, you need to upsell or cross-sell them. And then because SaaS companies or SaaS businesses, they usually have customers who can also churn unless you actually lock them into like multi-year contracts. You need to keep the retention up, which means that it is challenging because you need to keep the customer experience up. I think that is really special about SaaS marketing is that it has so many different parts. And, you know, it's a bit more difficult, I would say, but also a lot more rewarding, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I think it is marketing in a very kind of intense environment, I would say as well. So yeah. What do you do at HubSpot more in a more concrete way? How does your kind of activities look like there?
Yeah, so I'm mainly responsible for UK demand at HubSpot. So what it means that I work with our sales team very closely on making sure that we hit our lead and QL goals. I work on different type of campaigns. I work with our central teams on paid acquisition or any other type of central place that we have, you know, such as like blogs or stuff like that. Anything that has to do with demand in the UK, really. I work with multiple stakeholders across the organization, across the flywheel. So honestly, my role is very multifaceted and more almost like a project management role, where I take the overall responsibility for the strategy and the execution of marketing and demand in that specific market.
Really interesting. So to kind of get us started for the topic of the episode, what is HubSpot if our listeners don't know?
Yeah, so HubSpot is a CRM platform for scaling companies. We do offer marketing, sales and service and content management software, as well as we also have a large ecosystem of over 600 integrations to our platform. And what is really different about HubSpot is that all of our products have been built by HubSpot on one easy-to-use platform. So it's very easy for all the customer-facing teams to get a single view of the customers and their business. For example, as compared to a lot of our competitors, they actually bought up a lot of different products and try to integrate them to one single platform. But what HubSpot has done is we built one platform from the ground up. So our platform is a lot more easy to use, but still very powerful compared to a lot of our competitors.
Really, really cool. So it's kind of custom built from the ground up to serve the needs. That's really cool. And particularly for me as a technology marketer as well, I think it's really interesting position where you are at. And it's the fact that you're working at a company who's producing like best of the best, I guess, for marketing tools. And you're working in the marketing of a company that produces marketing tools. So how does marketing at such a company look like? Like, I guess you would have the best of the best tools and the good resources. And how is marketing structured at HubSpot and how does it work?
Yeah, so when I started at HubSpot, it was honestly so odd. I was now working for this company whose software and education I had been using for so long. And suddenly I was working for them. I remember being at my first HubSpot marketing kickoff in Boston, and I was sitting on a chair and somebody dropped a pen in the front seat. And I actually reached out to pick up that pen, and the person in front of me kind of turned back. And then I saw that it was Kyle Jepsen, who was and still is one of the HubSpot Academy professors. And I just had the biggest fangirl moment, because I had seen a lot of his videos online and learned so much from him that it was so odd just to see him in real life. So in the beginning, like, it was just so odd being in that whole atmosphere, and you know, just seeing all that was great. And still, Academy and all the education that HubSpot offers is really at the core of our acquisition offering and strategy. And we believe that by providing that value and creating that trust, you will become a thought leader, and that will be your best marketing asset. And this is basically the inbound marketing approach that HubSpot invented and really just transformed the whole way businesses do marketing. And overall, HubSpot has just really been at the forefront of marketing for a long time. And now what we're seeing is really a shift in the market where you need to first and foremost pay attention to your customer experience. So if you only think about your marketing as a funnel, especially in a SaaS business, you're really missing out. What you need to think about is your customer-facing teams are this flywheel that spins as customers and people interacting with your products and company tell other people about them. They're basically calling it the feedback economy, and it's already massive and it's getting bigger and bigger. Like, companies are not just, you know, talking to sales reps. They're going online, they're researching, you know, what are other people talking about this company? What are all the review sites talking about? So it's this massive feedback economy, and you need to be in that, or you need to make sure that you're in those sites and you have positive reviews. You need to make sure that people are happy with your service. Another big bet that HubSpot has made and continues to invest in is building a media. So our blogs actually have already more visitors than TechCrunch. Like, we built a massive media engine. And also, we recently acquired The Hustle as part of its strategy. And I would like to quote our founder over here, Dharmesh. He actually said recently that modern media companies have software embedded inside, but next generation software companies will have a media embedded inside of them. And I think that's very true. And I think that's something that a lot of software companies should think about, because that's how you truly become a thought leader. And that's how you create trust within your customers. So overall, if I would need to answer, like, okay, what does HubSpot marketing look like? It's about creating that trust and creating a remarkable customer experience. And that's what we truly focus on. But overall, it's just been really inspiring to learn from our marketing leadership and my colleagues. I'm just always truly constantly amazed by the things that our team is able to achieve, and really the way the team upholds to extremely high standards of customer experience and service. Because I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people and a lot of companies say but don't actually do. So I think honestly, like, HubSpot is really walking the walk over there. And that's why I'm really happy to work at HubSpot, and especially in marketing.
Excellent, excellent. And you touch upon a lot of topics there. I'm going to quickly do a kind of a shameless pitch of one of our previous episodes. So if you want to hear more about this trend of how enterprise software is being bought from this kind of very centralized procurement kind of view towards this kind of self-service model, then go ahead and check out one of our How to Buy Cloud Intelligently episode from our previous season. And with that, actually, you mentioned something interesting called, was it the university or academy that you have? And this sounds like it's completely different from this kind of, let's say, old school software vendors, where at first you would even need to pay to get access to the documentation, let alone any of the training or any of the interesting content and updates. So could you a little bit elaborate on what is this approach?
Yeah, so basically what HubSpot Academy offers is a lot of different videos and education on topics of marketing, sales, and service. For example, our inbound marketing course has been taken, I don't know the exact number, but tens of thousands of times. And we are educating the future marketers. And I think that is something that, you know, you can't buy, you know? The next generation is literally learning how to market with HubSpot, you know? And I think that's something that a lot of companies haven't realized, is that by giving out this free education, you're ingrained in people's minds, and they will think of you as a thought leader, and they will have that trust on you. And when they become the leaders within their organizations, they will remember you. And they will say, this is the company who I trust, and this is the company who I trust that will also, you know, have the best software because they were able to educate me. I think, honestly, like that is the best approach. And that has been working out really, really well for us. And I think something that is really interesting about our approach is that whenever you sign up for our academy, you actually sign up also for our free HubSpot portal. So you actually get HubSpot free products at the same time. So you can actually also do some marketing testing with those free tools and learn to market that way. And it's not just for marketers who are big in the beginning of their journey. We have a lot of really advanced content too. So whether you are, in the middle of your career, or even in really advanced exec, you still have a lot of things that you can learn from our academy, especially if you need to refresh in some of the topics. So I think, like, as an educational platform, it is like one of the best, and it's just truly, I would say, honoring to work for a company that, you know, provides something like that and has invested so much money and so much resources on making sure that people are going to learn marketing, sales, and service topics overall.
Yeah, and I think it's really great. And I think, as you kind of mentioned, inspiring to hear that as well, that since HubSpot is such a, like, beginner, like one of the first ones to do inbound marketing in a way, that they're actually, you know, walking the walk as well as there, because that's literally what that is. They're offering, HubSpot is offering constant recurring value to their customers and potential customers, which is really important in the SaaS space. So that's really great to hear that HubSpot has realized the value in there.
Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent. So let's put this in a little bit more context for you personally. Like, you have specialized, as we talked, in the software as a service marketing era. So personally, to you, why is it such an interesting area to work with in general?
Yeah, so I think I would just go back into some of the things that I said earlier about it having so many different things that you can tweak on and so many different cycles to it. Because, like, through the whole life cycle, there's just so many things that you can tweak. And I think that's what truly makes it interesting. Because, like, one day you can notice that, okay, like, our top of the funnel acquisition is not working at all, so you can tweak on that. But then again, you can also tweak on your retention numbers, or you can, like, monetize your customers. There's just so many different things that you can do. Because if you, for example, compare to, you know, like, a very simple e-commerce business, you know, it's a very transactional business. where you are just, you know, making sure that people buy this specific product. You are probably, you know, running Facebook ads or something like that and optimizing that one specific thing. But with SaaS, there are multiple things that you need to optimize all the time. You're never finished with that optimization. So I think that is something that makes it extremely interesting and rewarding to work with, because it's constantly changing. There's constantly new stuff coming out, and you can constantly tweak it and learn.
Mm-hmm. So in a sense, there's always a small announcement of a release to get to talk about, and there's always some kind of something to tweet, reach out to talk about and announce, instead of having this every 3 years or 5 years. There's a new next version of this boxed product, and we will maybe do like a roadshow, or, you know, prepare like a very traditional kind of you know, now this is the version, we will train you for it, it will come, everyone knows it's the next thing. Yeah, really, really interesting take on the overall kind of evergreen nature of the software as a service business indeed. I'm sure you won't get bored learning all of that all the time. What are some of the key skills that you see that have helped you, or someone who would aspire to be in this technology and software as a service marketing? What are some of the key skills to learn?
Yeah, so I would say that you need to really have the ability to make complicated things sound simple, because the positioning in the SaaS world is really becoming harder and harder, because there's so many solutions out there. And companies are really, really struggling to understand what is the best tech stack for their business. So if you have the ability to tell what your solution really does and why it's actually better than the competition, you will win. It sounds so easy, but it's actually very hard, especially when you become bigger and you add more functionality to your software. You really easily fall into that corporate jargon trap where you just, you know, talk about these advanced features and you become more and more just, you know, hard to understand. But what you should do is go back to the beginning and make sure that your prospects and customers truly understand your value proposition, because that's the only thing that really matters in the end. Do they understand your business? And another thing that I would mention is just being humble and humane, because people expect a lot more from companies nowadays. They expect the brand to really have a voice, and you want to be one of the good guys in that battle, and you want to come off as humble and empathetic, especially during these times.
Makes a lot of sense. So that's really interesting. Now we learned that really there is really good skills to have and working in this space. So when you are working in here, how do you see marketing's place in organization?
So earlier I mentioned the flywheel. I feel that marketing should really work with the full flywheel, so the full customer-facing organization, to really make sure that the flywheel spins faster and you're removing friction from your customer experience. So what this means is that you should be working with sales and service on making sure that your organization is aligned internally, so that you can actually present that unified customer experience externally. A lot of people really see marketing as only acquisition, but honestly, it should be so much more than that. Obviously, the first step is the lead acquisition, but then you also need to make sure that you are enabling the sales team all the way to the closing. Marketing should be very comfortable, not only working with the acquisition content, but also things like case studies, sales tools, enablement content, anything that enables the reps to sell. But even with the acquisition campaigns that you're running, your priority should always be to think about how can you really arm the sales reps with as much as possible you like useful information. Because like oftentimes, you know, you don't really focus on that. And then when the lead comes, the rep basically has maybe an email address or something like that and a domain that they can work with. That doesn't, you know, give a lot. So what you should focus on as a marketer is like, how can you give the reps a lot of useful information, qualifying information that they can use when they start to have that conversation with the prospect? And when that prospect actually becomes a customer, marketing should make sure that they're telling the story of those customers, but also making sure that those customers recommend the software to other businesses. So this is the flywheel approach that I was talking about earlier. People do have a lot of names for this approach. Some call it growth hacking. But the main point is that the marketing should always optimize the metrics that need optimizing, regardless of where it sits in the flywheel. That's the role of marketing, really, to optimize whatever needs optimizing and make sure that the flywheel is spinning across the organization.
Mm. You mentioned something that caught my ear. What is this enablement content that you mentioned? Is that training or?
Yeah, I mean, it can be training, but if you're talking about content that marketing is creating, it can be things like, you know, white papers or like comparison websites. For example, like a HubSpot, we have a lot of websites that, you know, compare us to our competitors. We have tools and templates that the sales team use to, for example, make, you know, presentations or something like that, that the reps can use when they're actually selling. And I think the most common use case is customer stories or case studies that they can use in the sales process. But anything that they can truly utilize in the middle or bottom of the funnel positions.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, really interesting. And I think it's important to remember that. I think a lot of times when talking about technology marketing, particularly in my opinion, some people have maybe an outdated view on what marketing does. And I think you really well put it into the really concrete terms on what does modern marketing and kind of like what does growth hacking or whatever you want to call it, this kind of very data focused, very optimization focused marketing really has to offer, because it's a lot more than copies or visuals or anything. It's really hard work and hard kind of data-based optimization. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you think then, kind of general, now we talked a bit about a lot of different angles that modern marketing can be approached. So what do you think is the best engine or tool, kind of what is the best weapon, I guess, in the arsenal of modern marketing in a way? What do you think works the best and what is your favorite in a way?
Well, I'm very biased over here, but I think the first thing that I'm going to say is honestly HubSpot. If you are a scaling business, I think HubSpot is your best option for a CRM platform and for marketing automation. I truly believe so, just because I think it's the only platform that is both powerful and easy to use. And you get even more out of it if you use our whole CRM platform, including marketing, sales, service, and CMS software. Because like I've said previously, we're really the only solution in the market that has been built from the ground up on the same platform rather than like really just coupled together through acquisitions. So we are just the most user-friendly. And that means that you can move a lot faster as a business, because the worst thing that you can really do for a business is to use tools that slow down your productivity rather than accelerate the productivity. So that's why I honestly think that if for a scaling business, HubSpot is the best marketing tool you can do. And also there is a lot of review sites that say the exact same thing. So just don't listen to me, go online. They will say the same thing. But another tool that I really have to give credit for is called Kong. It's actually a call recording software. So you would actually think that it is a sales software, but actually it might be the best thing in a long time for marketers, because what that allows marketers to do is listen to sales calls. So you can truly understand your customer pain points and goals, which really is just invaluable as a marketer. So you can, for example, get some of your marketing copy straight from your customers, listen to those calls. And also you can spot trends, because in Gong, what you can do is you can analyze how many times a specific word is said during those calls. So you can, for example, see if there's a new competitor that like really starts popping up in all those sales conversations. So you can make more sales enablement content for that specific competitor. There's a lot of things that you can do with that. But I think overall, like, it's a massive win for marketers being able to be there closer to the customers, because that's usually the thing that kind of holds us back. It's like not being close enough to your customers. So that's something that I think is extremely useful for marketers. So whatever call recording software you're using, even if it's Gong or something else, I would definitely utilize that as a marketer because that's where you get your best copy from. And then thirdly, I would just say really any iPaaS solution or software, because if you don't get the data into your software, it is very difficult for you to do scalable and personalized and targeted marketing. Because currently, like, no business has like only one software. So you probably have like some type of foundational CRM platform where you want to get all that data into so that you can actually do proper marketing and scalable marketing. You need to have a great iPaaS solution. So I think that's also very key for all the marketers.
Excellent. Now we are talking my language over here, different software as a service solutions, having different types and formats of data, using some sort of integration platform as a service solution to putting all of this together. And conveniently, you also mentioned before when you described HubSpot that you have a ton of those integrations available in there, in your ecosystem already. So it follows from my perspective as well. Makes sense. Cool. With that, let's move over to our recurring segments. And first, let's talk about the future of tech. So Henny, what are the three things in technology that make you most excited at this moment?
Well, I think the first thing is whatever really helps cure COVID. I think that is something that is on a lot of people's minds, whether that is, things like quantum computing that helps analyze the data, or, you know, whatever else just helps with, you know, logistics on, you know, the vaccinations or, you know, whatever is related to that. I'm very excited about. I think that's on everybody's mind right now. But then otherwise, just from a very pure personal convenience point of view, I think there are a lot of exciting things like, you know, new delivery methods like, you know, drones and stuff like that, that really allow contactless delivery in a very fast time frame. Really excited about that. I think I'm not the only one who is kind of tired of waiting for your packages. And also at this current moment, as I live in Ireland, we are, you know, also kind of tied to Brexit, and all the packages that come anywhere from Europe are currently stuck in the UK. So we don't really get any packages to Ireland at the current moment. We only have to order through Ireland if we want to get anything. So new delivery methods is very exciting. But then also as a last thing, I'm also personally really excited about any new health technologies, because there's a lot of new ways that you can measure your performance and recovery that help you really train smarter and be healthier. And I think these type of innovations and the general gamification of health will have just a massive impact down the line to help people really understand their overall health in relation to things like sleep, food, and exercise. So I think those are really exciting, not just for me personally, but I think the future of humankind, if I would say.
Sounds great, but I have to agree, because if when you have health knowledge and increasing knowledge of health for the masses, I think it kind of leads to really, really good things for society in general. So I very much agree.
At least if you have the data from the masses.
Well, there is that. And of course, I think everyone can wholeheartedly agree with anything that helps to stop the spread of COVID-19. It's always very welcome. So then going to more of an abstract plane, maybe. If you could magically make any tech a reality, for example, from sci-fi or anything of those type of things, what would you want to have?
I think right now, anything that would really just get me closer to the sun without having to take an airplane. Like I said, I'm based in Ireland, so we are kind of stuck over here. We can't really go anywhere without taking an airplane. unless we take a very long boat ride. I think my answer would be some type of time travel. I guess in this case, just to make sure that I could get somewhere a bit warmer. Right now, it's about two degrees in Ireland and very snowy and just cold and dark. So I would definitely like to have some sun.
That's something that I'm sure we can, those of us who are living in dark and snowy places, can all all sympathize on those parts. Excellent. So let's move over to our next recurring segment on diversity and inclusion. Have you encountered any good projects or initiatives related to diversity and inclusion recently, Hanni?
We at HubSpot are organizing this event called the CX Spotlight in collaboration with the International Women's Day. It is a customer experience event, but we have 100% female lineup of senior CX leaders who will be presenting on how to create and deliver remarkable customer experiences. And what I love about this event is that we are not only discussing like diversity, inclusion, and belonging, but we're actually giving the spotlight to these amazing female leaders. Because if you think overall, I think the best thing that you can do is just give the spotlight to those people who deserve it and give examples to people and people who they can really relate to. So that's what I really love about this event. So if you want to check it out, the conference is taking place March 2nd, but we will also have a on-demand recording available after. So if you're listening to this after that date, feel free to, you know, sign up for the conference. It's free and hear the recording.
Cool. And I really, really liked the way you pointed out that we should be passed over the time that we have diversity and inclusive or any underrepresented minorities speaking about the fact that they are underrepresented. They should be talking about their content, right?
Exactly.
Very cool. I will definitely check it out and we'll put a link to our show notes.
Yeah. So in a more practical manner, what tips do you have for us and our listeners to lift others up?
I think the key is just to always remember where you started and think about what kind of help you would have appreciated in your journey. Whether it is for you to like sign up for a mentorship program as a mentor or taking the time to give positive feedback to a coworker, whatever it is, just to like think back on your journey and see like, okay, these are things that I would have appreciated and just do those things. That is the easy way to do it. But also then from especially DI and B point of view, I would really integrate all those actions in your daily life and the things that you're doing in any case. So for example, if you are doing a presentation, use quotes from women and underrepresented groups rather than, you know, always quoting like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or, you know, any of the basic ones. So, you know, just make sure that you are integrating all of that into your daily life, because then when you just make those conscious decisions, then it will become a habit and you will, you know, lift others up all the time and every day.
Really amazing. Good tip.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever we are doing, as long as it's not something that we do constantly, if it's not a habit, then it's not really creating the level of impact that it could. So very good reminder for all of us on that topic. Cool. So lastly, of our recurring segments, let's talk about the community corner. So now is your time to give your shout outs and, you know, remember and remind all of us about communities that are really close to your heart. So would you like to give any shout outs to communities, small or large, that have impacted you?
Yeah, so I would definitely like to give a shout out to the startup community in Finland. I, for myself, have learned so much for being part of multiple organizations over there. And a lot of those organizations are doing such a great job at creating opportunities for young people and students and teaching, you know, young people about startups and like how to build companies. I think that is, you know, such an important work. And like I said, I've learned a ton from there, and I don't think I would be here where I'm currently without that community. I would definitely like to give a shout out to them and to say that they are doing an amazing work.
For sure. And I think we can include some links in the comments. I think really good players there probably are Altius Junction / or Startup Lifers and whatnot. So we'll include links to them in the Absolutely. Show notes. So today we have talked with Henny Roini, a full stack marketing professional. We have learned about HubSpot, the importance of media, SaaS marketing, what makes it special, modern marketing in general, and how much we truly miss the sun during the cold, harsh winters as well. So Henny, truly thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Henny. Pleasure talking with you. Hey, thanks for listening to Cloud Gossip. You can find us from our website, cloudgossip.net. Please leave us a review and subscribe to us at iTunes, Google, or Spotify.